Welcome back to What Jail Is Like on WEFT 90.1 FM. He tossed it for no particular reason. Yeah. You guys have a good phone break?
Sorry.
It was alright. I blacked his eye over the whole SNL controversy.
Yeah.
But he pulled my hair.
Yeah.
And gave me a vicious nipple twister.
Well, it was only after you gave me that really ferocious Indian burn.
And I'm wearing a hair shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did we
do? Goes well with your hair lip.
Oh, thanks, man.
We just heard a song called Blue Juice by Jimmy McGriff. Fantastic organ player from back in the 70s, probably late 60s. And that was off an album called Blue Breakbeats, which I don't know how accessible it is, but it's called Blue Breakbeats. Various artists.
It's on the Blue Note label, so yeah. It should be available.
Yeah. Go to Borders. Yeah. They're big into jazz stuff. So it's great, great, great stuff. Got like Grant Green and Lou Donaldson on it.
And Lou Diamond Phillips, did you say?
Lou Diamond Phillips. Also makes a cameo. He plays harmonica. But it's great. It's all chilling city.
Audio footnote. I don't have a hair lip.
No,
an audio footnote.
Audio footnote. He doesn't have a hair lip. It was a joke. Aiming at the hair shirt. First thing that. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. Some jokes hurt. An audio footnote.
Audio footnote. I'm sorry. Please audio don't footnote. Hate me. And audio footnote.
Jeez. And
audio footnote. I'm really sorry, Mark. Did I really hurt your feelings?
I'm sorry. Are you saying something in there?
Oh, come into my audio footnote.
All right, hang on.
All right, what's that?
I'm sorry. Did I really hurt your feelings?
Yes.
I mean, really?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Here, let me give you a hug.
Okay. Don't think that's going to resolve anything.
What will resolve it?
15 hours of me standing in front of the mirror staring at my lip.
You don't have a hair lip. You know what? I don't even know what hair lip is, so I've only heard it. I've never seen anybody with a hair lip.
Honestly, I don't either.
So you don't have it. So there.
Well, how would I know if I have it? Because I don't even know what it is.
I've seen it. You don't.
Okay.
I'll clarify.
God, it's getting crowded in here.
And yeah, how did you get in?
I left the door.
Did you leave the door? Yeah. I thought he came in the pet
door. Well, I was waiting in the car and I got really tired.
I thought he came in the pet door again. And audio footnote. Everybody out.
All right, right about now, as we creep toward the 11 p.m. hour, that's what we're doing, creeping.
Yeah, we're totally creeping.
Creeping towards the 11 o'clock hour, a little segment wherein we produce the fruit of the last phone break. What you did was you planted the seeds by giving us phone calls, the seeds of your distress. You planted them in a field, and you're hoping from all this pain, from all this suffering, could come something tasty.
Right. You're hoping that they don't get blown away by the winds of change.
Yes. What a great metaphor. The winds of change. And the fruit.
Or that they don't get rocked like a hurricane.
And what we are is we are farmers. And we do not use pesticides. We are organic farmers. And we tend the field that has the seeds, which are your distress, which is, you know, a metaphor for phone calls you gave us and the problems you have. And we farm those fields and we take the food from them. And then we sell it at really inflated prices to grocery stores where you pay about 40 times what it actually cost us to produce them. In a little segment we call...
Free advice, I mean, when you think about it, really long and hard is better than no advice at all. So, put down my Shasta and shut your damn ungrateful mouth.
Yeah, audio advice come. And like farmers, much of the fruit that we reaped, we actually just threw out. Took some money from the government. Pretty dope.
Grips of wrath.
Ethiopians.
Burned it.
Yeah. So, what was the first call we took?
I'm sorry, I'm dazed. The first call was from Kurt, Champaign resident.
Hi, Kurt.
And Kurt said he's got a problem. He's been watching TV all day. He hasn't seen his commercials that keep telling him that life is not a spectator sport. But they don't tell him what sport it is, so he doesn't quite know what to participate in. He is fully behind these commercials and believes their message that life is not a spectator sport, but he doesn't know what to participate in, what he's been doing wrong.
Well,
I don't want to diss you here, Kurt, but obviously you missed the metaphor that the commercials were implying. That metaphor being that life is badminton. So you should really, really break out your birdies and rackets, and work on your first step, because it's badminton, man. I mean, which is why every time you walk down the street, you see people constantly engaged in an intense match of badminton. I mean, I know you probably saw that, and it's just put the pieces together upstairs, you know, Kurt. But really, if you add two and two together, the picture starts to become clear. I guess the company that had that slogan just assumed that everybody was on the same page, but so maybe it wasn't, you know, marketed towards your demographic. So just kind of try and keep your eyes open when you see that kind of thing, you know. If you go to buy a hamburger at your local fast food place and you get smacked in the temple with a birdie by the cashier who's holding a racket and wearing tiny, tiny shorts, start to put these pieces together. Start to say to yourself, that means something, you know? And then start to apply it to things that also don't make sense, i.e., you know, the phrase, life's not a spectator sport.
Okay, well, I think one natural impulse is to assume that life is, in fact, football, because if you look around, you will find that big, gigantic, hairy men do hold an absurd amount of the positions of power in the world, wholly inappropriately. But that actually, I would assume that's not the correct answer, because if I understand this commercial correctly, you may have just misread it. You've seen it so many times, maybe you're looking out of the corner of your eye, or you're just kind of imposing a set of assumptions on it. What I'm assuming is that the commercial actually said, life is not a peccary sport. And this commercial was addressed to all the peccaries of the world, those fascinating little animals. And as a non-peccary, or if you are a peccary, then it goes directly at you, then, you know, then it's not a sport for you, then it's not a game, you've got to look out. But as a non-peccary, you should be okay.
Okay. I think, Kurt, that really this is a subtle way of telling that you really, really need to invest in some tight shorts, a bike helmet, some elbow pads, some knee pads, and a pair of rollerblades. And that's right, Kurt, get yourself involved in the roller derby. It's been a big weekend for roller derby. We've had some exposés and some of the finer cable channels, E. And I really think it's time that you practice your jamming, you practice your blocking.
Your shoulder thrust.
Yeah. Your backhanded slap. And
your trash talking, most importantly.
And that move where you spin around backwards and you skate back a little slower, you skate backwards a little slower than the person, and then the jammer coming at you. And then somehow you just jump up and put your legs out so that they drive into you, and then somehow that knocks them unconscious. Practice that move, because I think that's what they're aiming at, Kurt. I think that someone's trying. This is destiny, fate. You know, Ovid and the other great, you know, writers of myth, Homer, and the classic tales. I mean, they spoke of destiny, handed down by gods. And what is television if not a god, the talking box, Duak Makina?
Seriously, have you ever seen a box talking before? No, Kurt, you haven't. I mean, that's another thing you might want to just, like, get start opening your eyes to. You know, it's a big box in your living room that talks to you, and there's people inside of it.
That's creepy.
How does that happen? You know, of course it's magical.
Where do the people go when you change the channel?
Of course it's magical,
Kurt.
What
do the people do when you turn off the power, when you turn it off?
You think everybody in the world just makes decisions, you know, freely? And makes up their own mind about what they're going to wear, eat, and do.
Why does Frasier only walk by the front of the box and talk for 1.5 hour every week?
Because it's magical. That's why, Kurt.
Another thing I want to suggest, actually, if I can take this in a different direction, is that this PSA may actually have been directed straight at you. If you are the type of person who has been playing spectator sport, wherein you find spectators, and you throw them through hoops, you hit them really hard with bats, and try to knock them into the distance. So if you've been doing that, this may be an advisory that you should not play that game.
Right. Do not make sport of spectators.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I hope that covers it for you, Kurt. You've got a plethora of ideas there, things to mull over, chew over. But I'm telling you, it's the roller derby. It's fate.
Next call's from Amanda, who says she has ham for Easter, always has, and fears that she always will, because she hates ham. It's an unparalleled passion, but she doesn't have the heart to break it to her mom or the rest of her family, who seem to really, really adore ham, especially on these festive occasions. But, you know, just as a result, Easter's, for as long as she can remember, have been ruined by the fact that she's either living in anticipation of the dreaded ham and choking it down,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, feeling the after effects. So she's like, what can I do? I don't want to, you know, destroy my family, and I don't want to destroy my gastrointestinal processes.
Because
we're talking Christmas, right. Easter.
I suggest going down to your local grocers, local greengrocers, picking yourself a big old block of wet, jiggly tofu. Now you paint that tofu pink. And you slap some pineapples on it, and then you put that, you know, in your purse, your wallet, your shorts, wherever you need to put it to bring it inconspicuously into the home of your families, whichever family member you happen to be at. And then when you serve, you know, now this will be where the mechanics come in. Card dealers, card players who cheat, who aren't good card players as much as they're good. You know, they know how to deal with the bottom of the deck. They know how to count cards. They're mechanics. They're called mechanics. They refer to themselves as mechanics. And you're going to have to get really good at the mechanics of food consumption. You know, the old sleight of hand, the dealing from the bottom of the deck, if you will. When the ham's passed around, you need to find some way to use the plate of actual ham and pretend. But meanwhile, perhaps a small child, bringing a small child in under your large billowing skirts, who can put the tofu, the pre-prepared ham-like tofu, on your plate, so nobody will know the difference. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to ruin it, and you know, you don't want to let them know that you're not into the ham.
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. that's a family tradition.
Oh sure.
So, you know, no muss, no fuss. That's what I'm saying here.
I agree with that, Eric. I think that the ham foo strategy, as it has worked for ancient monks,
Shaolin,
will work
Shaolin
for you.
Ham foo.
But I was going to say, maybe there's an easier route. So what you got to do is bring home, instead of the you know, the ham foo, bring home the rotten, leathery head of Frank Sinatra and put it on the silver tray in the middle of your dinner table. Everybody will be so charmed by the fact that Old Blue Eyes decided to join you for Easter. They won't even remember that, you know, they're not eating ham.
That's a good idea, actually. I had something along similar lines, which is if you don't have a regular boyfriend, somebody that you've been bringing to the family dinners, bring along somebody like the rotting corpse of Florence Welk, who can be loaned out for parties if you call 359-9338.
It only costs you three milkshakes.
Yeah. Mm. Somebody with a scoopable back, that is absolutely perfect for wedging ham into. Lawrence appreciates it, will appreciate it, you'll appreciate it. Those little ham bites have somewhere to go. Alternatively, if you are going the ham foo route and you want to make things even simpler, bring the big block of tofu. Heck, even just bring a brick if you're really lazy. Bring a brick. Make the cooking sherry a little more potent. Get the entire family boozed up before dinner, and it'll actually be kind of funny watching them go at that brick. They won't know the difference.
I was going to say also another idea of mine would be to bring home someone of a different race, creed, color, social standing, economic background, something that'll really miff your family off.
Yeah.
And then when you refuse to eat the ham, they'll, you know, if you concede, all right, Jaime and I will end our love, but I'm not eating ham anymore. They'll view that as a fair trade-off.
Your dad, who fears everyone different than him, will be so excited.
Mm-hmm.
You will never have to eat ham again.
See, I'm going to go one step further, Eric, and say maybe you should bring a ham to dinner as your date. And your parents feel so embarrassed.
A Vietnamese pot-bellied pig.
Something like that. And they'll be... that's a faux pas right there.
No, but if you bring a Vietnamese pot-bellied pig, that's the best of both our ideas. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Because your dad was in Nam. He doesn't want the Vietnamese in his house.
And you can't insist. Your mom is too polite to insist that the pig be a cannibal and eat his own kind.
You know, strange that my mom was not that polite.
Really?
When we'd have, yeah, when
it didn't work for you?
No, when we had baby on Tuesdays and I'd bring my girlfriend. My girlfriend had to eat baby with the rest of us.
Oh, no.
Your girlfriend being a baby.
Two more ideas I could throw out in that direction. It being Easter and all, why don't you turn the entire family dinner into a religious event? Try to get that ham to rise again. If the ham rises again, you can't possibly be expected to eat it.
Yeah, because that's kind of gross and sacrilegious.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you're really stuck, bring the boat boy to dinner with you. Midway through dinner.
He does parties nowadays,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he's 359, that'd be great.
Two milkshakes.
Yes.
It's pretty cheap.
And if you time everything right, federal agents will bust in on your Easter dinner at just the right moment with the guns, and the ham will be forgotten.
Even better is to, if you can get your hands on the ham before dinner, sculpt the ham into the likeness of the boat boy, then drop a tip anonymously to the FBI that the boat boy will be attending your holiday function, and then the feds will come in and confiscate your ham.
Maybe you could just hire somebody, a thug,
to whack the ham.
Say a local thug to kidnap the ham and hold it hostage.
Whack the ham. The ham sitting there on the plate, and then all of a sudden you get that little red, the little crosshair dot. Boom! A bullet hole through
the ham. I don't think, Amanda, that you could ask for more successful and really, really just incredibly insightful options to resolve your dilemma.
Okay.
And if you do, we'll hurt you.
We have time for just one more question. This one is kind of a weird one. This one comes from Art. Art lives in Urbana. Art says that he has a roommate named Mike who has to do projects every once in a while. His roommate is always asking him to handle the scissors when he has to cut something, like cut a piece of paper or something. Roommate always just kind of casually asks it. Doesn't, act all freaked out or anything, but always talks Mike into operating the scissors for him. And Mike is kind of weirded out by this. He's wondering, does the roommate have some deep-seated issues? How exactly could he bring it up in a manner that doesn't show his roommate that he's freaking out? But on the other hand, it is kind of odd.
It certainly is. I might right off the cuff insist that your roommate has a weird scissor fetish.
Mm-hmm.
And so
likes to see you handling scissors.
Yeah, you in action with scissors does something for him that, nothing else quite
can. That his girlfriend or...
Can't quite satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem's a little deeper rooted, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd say, I think someone told your roommate to not run with the scissors just one too many times.
Yeah, if you want to just scar. Slyly test it, run around with the scissors a couple times.
Yeah, see if you freak out.
See what happens.
I think this is a man deathly afraid of scissors. But I don't think this is a natural thing. I think someone did this to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike needs help.
Mike needs help.
Mike needs help. So Mike needs help, Art. He's not to be ridiculed or, pointed at, laughed at, but rather...
Poked, perhaps.
Don't, maybe poke him.
Slight poking.
A little bit of poking. In the ribble area. The ribassic area. That's right where your rib meets your ass.
Yeah.
But he needs to be cared for. Nurtured. I think the best thing he can do is... Take some Art and Mike time. Those mornings, 8 a.m., where you usually sit on opposite ends of the couch, eating your grape nuts in your underwear, watching, Good Morning America, because Joe London is rather attractive with the short hair. Why not spend some time cuddling with Mike? Reassuring him, stroking his back, his face, his hair, just letting him know that it's all right.
It's not a bad idea. If you can, get in touch with with Mike's teachers and see if you can have Mike assigned a project maybe that involves a brick. That may help things out because he can't cut a brick with scissors.
Right.
That'll be a problem. You could cut off your own thumbs if you want. They can surgically remove those. I actually had a dream last night that I cut my fingers off willingly.
and I wasn't too distressed about it. And then it occurred to me a few minutes later in the dream that they might not be able to put them back on because I'd been letting them sit around. And if anyone knows anything about dream interpretation, I'd be curious to know what that means. So you could run that route, just get rid of your fingers, and you really just can't do it. If you want to work with one of our callers who I can put you in touch with, if we can set you up with a dinner at Amanda's house, we can swap the knives there with forks and then set Mike up with Amanda. And then when the father goes to cut the ham with scissors, he'll freak out. Mike will freak out. And one of you will get your problem solved.
I was going to say maybe you should take a bolder route and make Mike confront his fear by just plunging the scissors into his clavicle.
You know, I was thinking something exactly the same thing.
So I mean, that way, plunge
into the clavicle.
Because like then you're forced to face your fear. Literally, you're forced to grab hold of the scissors. Because as you're standing back with your arms folded, laughing, he's forced to grab the handle of the scissors and pull them out himself. And you know, afterward, he's going to feel a lot better. You know, he's going to have conquered his fear of the scissors. And, you know, when you're in the emergency room, it's going to seem a lot funnier.
And if all else fails, let me suggest hitting Mike over the head, binding him, gagging him, and dropping him off in a cornfield.
Usually my preferred method of dealing with roommate disputes.
Yeah.
Or even disputes with, like, somebody in, you know, like Walmart is what you do.
Or even, you know, somebody who doesn't say hi to you. Yeah. And you're in a mood to be said hi to. 359-9338 is the phone number. If you've got anything that you need to say to the What Jails Like crew, but right about now, we're going to move off to a song by a band. It's going to be loud and fast, and you can jump around and yell.
And it goes out to Mike Renaud if he's currently sitting near his little talking box.
There's plenty of What Jails Like remaining, though. And have no fear, we've got a lot of PSAs to catch up on. Having not been around next week. So we will do that, and it will be exciting, and you, if you know what's good for you, will stay tuned.